This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and thank you for tuning in here on BPN Radio on Seismic Radio. It's great to have you here. Today we've got a subject, I hope it's going to be an interesting subject, but we'll sort of just work our way through. The big question is what about hacking and security? That's a big question we're gonna tackle tonight. First of all, how serious is the threat of being hacked and the whole thing about internet security? What is the role of data in our lives, in everyday lives, and what can we do about it? You know, and is there any significance in us being Christians? Yeah, and does it actually belong in the Christian war room? Is there an issue here? Okay, I want to start off with a story, and I just read it on the news in Germany yesterday. They had a couple of raids, and these raids were done in my home state, I think in North Rhine-Westphalia. I was just reading up on the news on it, and it was said that the government is now spending more time on these raids. It's quite interesting as well. And these raids were normally, you know, political dissidents who are using what they call hate speech on Facebook or on, you know, there's another term which is like Volksverhetzung, means as much. Hard to translate, it's in Germany, but in German, Volksverhetzung means as much as, you know, propagandizing the people to do something bad. Don't know whether that makes sense, but to encourage people to do bad things. Yeah. So that's pretty much Volksverhetzung. Yeah. And that's, again, it's against the law, and it all comes back from the Nazi era where this was happening, where certain people groups were very much antagonized through the media and through the propaganda of the day, and so laws were put in place later to stop this from happening. So if you stand up in Germany and you say something bad against certain people, you're in trouble. Interesting as well is, again, I don't know whether it you know how true the figures are, but you never hear about certain minorities who blurt out a lot of anti-Semitic propaganda that... that there are any stringent legal measures which are taken, in my opinion, especially if they're not from the country, they should be thrown out of the country. There are some politicians who raise some concerns, but not much is done. But yet on the other side, you get people who go against the establishment, and it's interesting as well, they always say they're on the right wing of the spectrum, and so they may be against Islam, and maybe for good reasons as well. But they are then put to court, and they can put to prison up to 5 years. So it's quite a serious thing. The problem is that words can put you in prison. Words can put you in prison. The way it works normally is, I was reading the article, the raid took place. They, police, you know, they got a court order, they went into the house, they confiscated all of the IT equipment, and then obviously they would analyze and forensically analyze the IT equipment to see what is on there, and then based on that, put the case together and drag the person into court and, you know, potentially lock him up for a long time. Or, you know, punish them or whatever. I'm not quite sure what to think about it. Obviously, I'm against, you know, making threats or bullying or, you know, being nasty online. But I'm also for genuine debate. And I think everybody should be able to reject a certain viewpoint which is placed. I think that is part, number one is, you know, just from a democratic process, is part of the democratic process, but it's also necessary to ascertain and to establish and to find truth. You need to be able to criticize and to scrutinize viewpoints. And I'm not quite sure, I haven't seen the case, you know, what was happening, what these guys were doing, but again, if they were just scrutinizing, you know, different set of people, different set of religions, different set of viewpoints, people pushing certain viewpoints, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that, and it should not be, you know, prosecuted. And again, To me, it's a big riddle that somebody can be, be a victim of violence and beaten to an inch of his life, and people, the perpetrators don't suffer as much punishment as somebody who is just using words and making maybe a stupid statement, possibly even a justified statement somewhere. Okay, anyway, so what we're going to go into is it's all to do with hacking and security. There used to be some years ago where the government in Germany decided to get the so-called federal Trojan, where they could, by law, put a Trojan on your computer and then see what's going on there without you knowing it. And without a court order, as far as you aware of it, so that would have been done clandestine. Anyway, the hacking community in Germany, they made a joke about this. They got hold of the Trojan somehow, and they then published the source code so that everybody would know what the Trojan is, and that virus checkers could easily identify that your computer has been infected with this Trojan. Okay, now the big question is, how real is the danger and how much do we need to worry as Christians? Is persecution, which I believe is on the horizon, and it's already happening by trying to silence us and to stop us from preaching the gospel. And as soon as we preach the gospel and we reject other religious viewpoints, for example, the ecumenical viewpoint, we're all going to be one happy family. It's not the case. The gospel is quite clear. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ, and there's no other way. And any compromise, any other gospel is invalid. It doesn't work. It'll get people into hell, and we know this, and we need to get this out there. And this goes against the grain of governments who are trying to... it's like a boiling pot. We've got the radicals, the Islamists. We've got those who blow themselves up, those who, who cause a lot of damage. And the governments are afraid of that. And they try to, to somehow, from a political point of view, find some foul compromise where these people get not upset so that they won't go crazy and commit violent acts. And so rather, instead of pursuing those crazy, violent people who they believe they can't control, they go the other way. They go after those people who might upset them, and in this way to appease them. This is my viewpoint. I'm not quite sure how radical it is, but that is what I see when I look at the news and when I sort of try to analyze what is taking place in our societies. Now, the danger of being hacked is real. There's no question about it. There are certain things you can do to protect yourself, and one of the first ones is be very careful what you download and what you install on your computer. Also, the biggest problem we've got nowadays are smartphones, are not even PCs or laptops. I mean, laptops which we had before, you had pretty much a microphone installed and a camera, and the laptop could be turned into a book. So you just needed to install certain software, and you can access a laptop from pretty much anywhere. And activate the camera, activate the microphone, start recording whatever is taking place, and that was a threat, going about 10 years back. 10 years down the line, we've got a completely different threat. We've got everybody's walking around with a smartphone. A smartphone is pretty much turned on all the time. If I can compromise the smartphone, it's not very hard to do. Even with your permission, so I give you a really cool app, you download the app and put about 10 pages of text on it with all the stuff that needs to be activated and the app needs to have access to. Because you want the app, you don't bother reading it, you just click yes, and you've just agreed to be spied upon for me to look at your phone contacts and everything else. And so people don't realize how vulnerable they have become and how easy it is for people to hack them and to steal their data, to find out, listen into their conversations, to find out what is going on, to take pictures, to take, even film what's going on. And so it's a big problem. It's a big problem. So one of the things what you have to be aware of, and that's pretty much the message here I want to try to get out, is that you can be monitored 100% of the time. Yeah, you need to be aware of that. Okay, what else do we need to look at? We leave an electronic footprint behind. Again, very interesting when you look at the stuff we've got today. So we've got all these profiles like LinkedIn, Facebook. We've got stuff like, social media in general. We We've got our computers, we've got our smartphones where we store a lot of stuff on there, and lots of photos anywhere we go. We've got other bits as well. So the thing we need to be aware of that when I look at a person's life, there are sort of a couple of elements to that person's life. One of them is obviously reality. Who is this person? What is this person all about? And so on. Then the next one is the digital footprint. Every person these days, almost every person, leaves a data trail behind. And if I've got enough determination and possibly rights as well to obtain the data, I can find out a huge amount of stuff about this person. So I've got the telephone to start off with. Then I've got maybe credit card records. Yeah? Every time you do a transaction, everything is recorded. Once you've made a transaction and it's recorded, I know exactly in which shop you were in. You've got, with all GSM phones, you have the possibility to triangulate them. So at any one time, you could triangulate a phone and you would find out exactly where the phone is, and presumably the person is there as well. And whenever a crime takes place and they do some analysis, that's one of the first things they do. They look at the phone records and they look at which cell tower the phone was pinged from. Yeah, that's one of the things. But also, very often in the location up in your smartphone, people can track down some. I think one smartphone, it once came out that there was actually a small file created with all the location settings, and I don't know how far back it went, but all the places the person had been to on the smartphone, I'm not sure whether it was, I think it was an Apple, but I'm not sure about it. There was a file there. There was a file, and this file was pretty much telling where the phone was at what time and so on. So, again, very, very problematic. So people can track you down wherever you are, but we're just you voluntarily taking your phone. And then some apps, you give people permissions to access the location. I mean, one most bizarre thing is I downloaded an app for a torch, and that's all it is. You know, you press a button. It's just a little bit of software to turn on the little white light on your smartphone so you can use it as a torch at night. But the torch wanted to have access to all the contact details and a couple of other things as well, which had nothing to do with the torch. And at that point, you thought, what's going on here? So this is just like another attempt to hijack the data that's on my phone. And so, you know, obviously I didn't accept the app. I didn't want it. Right, how are they going to get you? They're going to get you on hate speech. Hate speech, again, is a very flexible term in Germany. I was reading through the legislation. Actually, you don't need to intentionally offend somebody. It's enough if somebody feels offended. That's all it is. If somebody feels offended, when I was looking through the legislation, that's enough to define hate speech. So if I stand up here and for example, yeah, I would say that I don't like, I don't know, I'm trying to look, I've got a beard, yeah, I've got a beard. So I can say this because obviously I would say to myself. So if I say I don't like people with beards, yeah, I don't like beards. I think they are, they hide the face, they're not very nice, and so on. Yeah, and possibly I can say that if you look at my picture somewhere, you can see I've got a beard, always had one. Somebody might feel offended about this, and they could construe this as being hate speech and drag me into court, saying that they felt heavily offended by it. There's a good chance that the judge at this stage will throw it out, but we don't know what it is like in maybe 5, 10, 15 years' time when this development goes further and society changes, and suddenly you're just walking on a knife's edge with whatever you say, whatever you think. And so they can put the fear in you to make sure that you comply. Yeah? And then at that point, we are right back where we were in the Third Reich, under the fascist system, where there was only one allowed view. And if you diverted from this view, you had to go to a re-education camp. And it sounds very similar to me. You know, the tendency, what is going, that free speech in Europe is is history now, but is no longer allowed because you have to fear of offending somebody. We've got all this stuff. We've got Islamophobia. Yeah, so like you've got a spider. I've got a spider phobia. I overcame it to some extent. I don't like spiders. Yeah, even though they're not harmful or whatever. You know, if I live in a house and a spider lives there as well, it's either one of us is going to live there. It's not both of us. That's sort of my thing. So I don't like spiders, and I'm perfectly entitled to that. I know most Muslims, they don't like the cross. Yeah. Because Islam is very derogative about the cross. They don't believe that Jesus died on the cross, but somebody else died instead of him. Somebody else died instead of him. That's what the Quran says. I think it's the fourth or fifth surah. And that's what they talk about. Yeah. So Jesus didn't die on the cross. For us Christians, it's an essential part of the message. Take the cross away, and then you may as well forget about Christianity. They've taken it away. They've taken it away there and then. You know, God was kidding for 600 years of people in pretending that Jesus died on the cross, according to them. And now the great prophet came, and he had the answer, and he put it down in the Quran. And now we, or they know that Jesus didn't die on the cross. You know, he just rectified it 600 years later. So, again, it's a very precarious point. So because of that, you know, I've got a phobia. I don't like Islam, yeah, because they are denouncing the greatest deed my Lord has done on the cross. In Canada, they tried to make this illegal. I'm not sure whether the law went through. They wanted to put this into law, enshrine this into law. If you're an Islamophobe, you're off to prison. Yeah. I'm not quite sure how it is going in Germany. I know there's a great move to pacify a huge number of Muslims in Germany, in Europe, and they're sort of things as well. So basically what they're saying is you're not allowed to talk about this stuff anymore, and if you talk about it and a phobia can be proven, then you're in trouble. Yeah. Then obviously we've got homophobia as well. I mean, do I need to like what these guys are doing? And obviously I don't. I don't need to like this. And this is probably a personal freedom, a personal preference you have. But again, they try to outlaw this. Yeah. And again, in the same way, they don't like what I'm doing. They don't like that I'm worshipping a God who has got very clear guidelines on the way we should live and the way we should treat one another. I don't hate these people. Yeah. I don't think any genuine Christian hates these people. But we don't support their lifestyle. And we want to encourage them and to call out to them to repent, to turn away from their lifestyle and to turn to the way God wants them to walk. Okay, let's go back on hacking. So these are the issues, yeah? And if you've got any contents on your computer, you can be in serious trouble. But the trouble goes further as well. So you you get a visit from the law, they take all of your equipment, and suddenly it's all gone. Yeah? Your computer is gone, your iPhone is gone, everything is gone. And this could be a problem, and they could use these laws to initiate some sort of persecution. Now, what can we do about this? There are a lot of things we can do about it. Number one, we use this equipment to preach the gospel. We use, like right now, you're hearing me because I've got a computer. I've got a lot of stuff stored all over the place. It's publicized via the internet one way or another. It goes out via a radio station. So I use this equipment, but they could take this equipment away and it could be a big problem. So what can we do? Now, computer equipment is very easy to replace. Yeah? So a laptop, you know, a cheap one, $200, you get a decent laptop, which will allow you to do all this stuff. Maybe for all the data, you need an external hard drive. So you pay another $100, $200. You can store pretty much all the data you're likely to have created and you need. And then including all the software and stuff like that. So what can we do? Yeah, there are a lot of things we can do. And again, as far as hacking is concerned and as far as everything else is concerned, we need to be aware that we can be tracked with everything we do on the internet. So for example, anytime you search a website, it leaves a trace on your computer. Even if you delete your history, it can still be retrieved from the hard drive. So whenever you delete something, all you're saying is, I don't want this data now, and you remove the index, so that allocation where the data is written can be overwritten at a later stage, but the data is still sitting there, so it's not really deleted. It has just been made available to be overwritten. And if it's not overwritten, the data can be retrieved from the disk. And there are tools which do all this stuff for you, and you can forensically analyze all the stuff that's been deleted on a computer. Sometimes if the data has been overwritten, it still leaves a shadow of the original data, and you can, with specialist tools, quite expensive tools, you can actually retrieve data which has been deleted, and not just, you know, the index made ready to be overwritten, but which has been overwritten as well. So it's a big problem. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you do something illegal, fair enough, you know, it's fair game. If you don't do something illegal, but still, you know, you fall into this woolly definition of hate speech because we are preaching the gospel, then again, it's perfectly legitimate to protect yourself, yeah, to make sure, you know, make life difficult for those who try to go after us. I mean, Jesus said, "Be as wise as snakes, but without faults like doves." So that is that is in the scripture, and I think it's legitimate to try and make sure that we protect ourselves, yeah, in the proclamation of the gospel, as far as possible and as far as reasonable. You know, we don't need to present ourselves on a plate to those who persecute us. So a couple of things you can do is, number one is you can use anonymizers when you go online, so it's very hard to trace down what you're doing. Once, you know, our freedom of speech gets shut down completely, we can work via third world countries. Or third countries where freedom is still available, have some servers there, connect to them, using an encrypted connection, which is very, very difficult to crack into. It's possible, but it's difficult. It's just one layer of difficulty which we put in there. We move our data all the way through there, and then we come out the country where freedom of speech is still available, and then we can use that facility to do this. And that's normally called proxy servers. But proxies, you can find tons of them online. You never know. And again, a proxy server makes a connection with your computer. You come out. And if anybody traces you back, the trace back doesn't work. But we never know who run those proxy servers. So it might just be people who are freedom warriors, whatever you want to call them. But it might also be a secret service who is setting up all these proxies in the net, and they just wait for you to connect to them and then, you know, try and record where you come from and what you're doing. Yeah. And so eventually have something, you know, have something against you. Again, we need to be very clever. So an idea is to maybe hire, lease your own server in a country which upholds freedom of speech. We've got certain data freedom, and then to VPN, it's called a virtual private network, VPN to that place, and then, you know, upload your stuff to, you know, wherever you need to upload it to. And that's one way of doing this, yeah, one way of doing this. The next one is using encryption, you know, all the data you have, make sure it's encrypted, especially, you know, as the news tightens and our freedoms are more and more restricted, there's a legitimate argument to encrypt everything. I know certain carriers like FedEx, I once went into this, I think it was FedEx, and I was reading through their policies, and one of the policies actually stated that if you send data somewhere, it has to be encrypted because they don't want to be held responsible to transport illegal data. So they actually insist for your data to be encrypted, otherwise they are not going to transport it. So you have to agree to that. Okay, what else? A lot of other things as well, just to mention them. Emails, for example, are mostly sent in clear text, so they are not safe in any way whatsoever. Message history, again, is always there. Whenever you use any online service like WhatsApp, Facebook, or anything like that, don't trust them. The data is going to be there. It can be construed. I mean, some stuff which is legal today may not be legal tomorrow. And who knows? You know, if you say something which today, which tomorrow might be outlawed, you know, under further restrictions in the effort for governments to try and keep the peace, so they need to take your freedoms away. If that takes place, yeah, then again, it can be very, very problematic. So you have to be very careful when you use social media. It can be very useful. It can be a mission tool. It can be an outreach tool. It can be a tool to connect with people who otherwise you will never be able to connect to. So that there is an element in there, which is very positive. But we need to be very aware of what is happening, and it's important to, you know, to walk carefully, you know, to tread carefully through this whole mire of the stuff that is out there. And one thing we are seeing is there are a lot of tendencies which are not good, and a lot of developments which are not good. And the internet has given us a huge amount of freedom we probably never had before, you know, to voice our opinions, to say what we think. But again, it's we have to be careful. We have to be careful what is going on. Okay, we are coming slowly to an end. We've got a few minutes left. We talked about message history, about, you know, the information and hiding ourselves. We talked about anonymizers. Make sure that when you connect somewhere that you anonymize yourself, that it cannot be tracked down. And that's normally through proxy servers and things like that. Yeah. Again, and as we sort of go towards the end, I don't want to keep anybody paranoid, but as Christians, we have to use the media. It's there. It's there for us to be used. The internet is a phenomenal thing. We can reach out to the ends of the world in preaching the gospel, and that is pretty much what we are charged to do in Mark 16. And we should use it. We should make the most of it as, you know, the days go on. And the beauty is you can be 80, 90 years old. You will not be able to do a lot of traveling. You haven't got the strength anymore, but you can sit behind a keyboard and you can maybe use Google Translate to tell you a story of how you came to Christ in Arabic and put it on an Arabic website or an Arab bulletin board. And Google will pick it up, and any Arab that's interested will see it. And that has never been possible before. You know, no generation before us was able to do this, so it was much more laborious. You had to go there, you know, live in Saudi Arabia for, or in Jordan or wherever for a couple of years, learn the language, dive into the culture, and then start preaching the gospel, and then probably have a very low life expectancy. But but anyway, that is the advantage we have, and what's happening now is the powers to be try to cut it down as far as possible through litigation and through other processes, which is very concerning. So anyway, just pray that this window will be open a little bit longer, you know, until the Lord comes back and takes us home, so that we can do the job very well, and that we can use this facility and this tool to preach the gospel to all the earth, to all nations, from one end to the other. Okay, we have got just about a minute left. I've got a little bit more to say on this, so tune in to the next War Room, Christian War Room session, and we're going to talk a little bit more about hacking and about the issues we are facing, and the use we can make using modern technology. So I want to encourage you to, you know, I'm very negative about everything here, but I want to encourage you to really make the most of it, but at the same time be very careful. Try and protect yourself, try and protect your interests, but make the most of it, you know. Get it going, get the gospel out. Let people know about our Lord and Savior. Let them know that Jesus has died for them, that there is hope, and that people can have a new life, that they can make a new start and move on in life, in real life. Jesus says that that whosoever believes in him will not die, but has crossed over from death to life. Yeah? And this is an amazing message, and we need to get this message out. Okay, right. We are at the end. Lord, I want to praise you for the internet. I pray, give us the wisdom, the determination, the vocation, the calling to make use of it and to preach your gospel to the ends of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.